Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Oh, Haley.
Hey, Dr. Looper. How are you?
Good, good, good. I heard something in the news on the way in this morning. That President Trump had asked the FDA to put a label on acetaminophen, Tylenol, bottles, warning parents that acetaminophen can cause autism. And it got me thinking about autism and mental health. And let me just jump in and just say, for the record here, autism is not caused by acetaminophen. Acetaminophen has problems with it. It affects the liver. It definitely has side effects. High doses of it isn't healthy. It's not like I'm a fan of Tylenol.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend it. It's got problems. Let me say that. But that is not what's causing autism.
No.
And the fact of the matter is
Why do they think that there is that connection?
There's some research that was done that showed that there's a connection between the autistic kid's ability to speak and just kind of looking at it overall, looking at population studies. And there's some evidence that it's a factor. And, you know, honestly, it probably is. Except for it's this much of that big a problem. That's the thing. It's a teeny little part. It's not the actual problem. So I just thought it'd be good to do a show on not necessarily autism, because it's a bigger subject than autism, but, you know, mental illness or mental function and what's really causing it to go bad. Now, just so we're clear on this. This whole mental illness thing is multifactorial. It's not like
right.
There's one thing that's broken that's causing all these problems.
Yeah.
There's lots of things that are broken. There's all kinds of pathways that have to break. There's people that have genetic susceptibility to having these problems. People have natural resilience to having these kinds of problems. There's a lot of stuff going on. Now, having said that, there's some generalities that we can make. One of those generalities is what drives the process more than anything is inflammation. Inflammation is what's screwing people's brains up. And the inflammation is being generated in large from their digestive system.
And the digestive system is directly linked to the brain. That
yep.
is some, not new at this point, but when I had entered my working life into the medical field about 2016, they were just starting to talk about the gut-brain axis. And since then, it's been researched significantly more. It is a real thing that your gut microbiome, everything living inside you directly communicates with your brain and tells your brain what chemicals it needs and when and where and why, and also is connected to your endocrine system. So it's just kind of this like holy trinity of networks working together to make you into this whole person.
Yeah, let me say it another way. It's real.
Yeah.
This thing where what you eat is what you are is real.
Absolutely.
And what you eat is how you feel is real.
100%.
So when I get people coming in to, we get people coming into the practice and they have some kind of mental issue, the first thing I think of is not whether they need to be on a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. It's what did they have for breakfast?
Yeah.
Now, that's kind of an exaggeration, but really, it's what's wrong with their gut.
Right. Or what are they feeding themselves?
Problem.
So
yeah.
When they sit there and they say, I'm riddled with anxiety, and you say, what did you have for breakfast? And they tell you, I had 4 cups of coffee and nicotine. Then you know what's generating that anxiety.
Yeah, let's talk about kind of the general problem. So we're clear on it. And autism is running through this entire conversation, but it's not just autism. It's anxiety, it's depression, it's ADD.
Parkinson's.
Parkinson's is another one. You think, wow, does Parkinson's fit in here? It does.
Alzheimer's.
Yes, Alzheimer's too.
Big time.
Schizophrenia. Kid you not. There's an element of that's similar to each one of these conditions. What's the other one? Obsessive compulsive disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Now, they're not the same diseases. They don't have the same mechanisms exactly. They break down in different ways. But there's a common element in all of these, which is the neurotransmitters are screwed up. And the amount of inflammation in the brain is screwed up. There's a breakdown in how the brain regulates itself based on stuff coming up from the gut.
Right.
So let me explain. Here's the real problem. It's not Tylenol. The real problem is there's undigested food left over in the digestive system. And when you eat something, you chew it up, you swallow it, it goes through your stomach, it gets an acid bath, or not, depending on who you are. Some people have acid blockers. Anyways, it goes through, your pancreas releases pancreatic enzymes, the bile ducts right there releases bile if your body needs it. All this stuff mixed together makes this chemical combination that breaks food down. And then as it goes through the upper part of the digestive system, all those broken down nutrients get absorbed. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of surface area and you're packed into your digestive system. So as those nutrients go by, the cells grab a hold of them, pull them in, grab a hold of them, pull them in, pull in, pull in, pull in. And in theory, by the time the food gets to the bottom of the upper digestive system, about the first two-thirds of the small intestine, most everything is absorbed. Maybe a little crumb here and there is left over that the bottom part of the digestive system starts picking up, but the vast majority of stuff is pulled in. And maybe at one point that was actually true, but it isn't anymore, and for good reason. The reason is food's not the same as it used to be. Food is designed not to rot. Of course it's designed not to rot. How could it rot? You can't sell rotten food. And so, you know, it's been processed. It's had stuff added in that inhibit the rotting. Now you think, well, how does rotting have to do with digestion? Rotting is digestion.
Right.
It's digestion by microbes.
Yeah.
And we use nearly the same systems, not exactly the same, but similar. We use enzymes, they use enzymes. There's a similarity between the systems that we use to break down nutrients. So if it's designed so that the microbes can't break it down, then in reality, we have a harder time breaking it down. And so the chances that there's undigested food that gets to the lower intestine goes up the more processed food you eat.
Yes.
And as a nation, we're eating more processed food all the time.
Oh, yeah. The majority of the grocery store is in the center of the store. Everything that is packaged, everything that is preserved, everything that is shelf stable is in the center of the store. The perimeter, not even a full perimeter. It's like a little L of the grocery store with your produce.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you a question. Why is it that the produce section, by and large, doesn't have to be refrigerated? That food is sitting there in bins and boxes at room temperature. Why doesn't it rot?
Okay, so I think about it in nature, and it's not sitting in a refrigerator in nature. You know, the dairy that has been taken out of the cow is usually in the cow's udder.
That's refrigerated. That'll rot.
Yeah. But
it's pasteurized to knock down the amount of bacteria that's in it. What about the tomatoes and the lemons and the apples and the bananas?
Yeah, those in nature are just hanging out on the vine.
In the grocery store. Here's the thing. You're working too hard at it. They're alive.
They're alive.
They're alive. That's why they don't rot. They're actively fighting being rotten.
And some of them have, you know, the pesticides and things to extend their shelf life.
That helps. Mostly the pesticides helps with pests. They don't necessarily help with bacterial digestion. They're really designed to keep the bugs from eating them.
Mm.
So if there's any bugs in the store, the chance of them being eaten goes down because they got pesticides on them. But really, pesticides is a whole other story.
Do they put anything on them to protect them from the bacterial bugs that could prevent them from decomposing quicker?
Yes.
Yeah.
They do, in fact.
Yeah.
They irradiate them.
They irradiate them.
If you run them through radiation, radiation kills all the organisms on the outside, and they'll come out of it not sterile, but a lot more close to sterile than they would otherwise.
Yeah.
So if the protist has been irradiated, then the chances it's going to have an extended shelf life goes way up.
Okay.
So that's the reason why they irradiate stuff. Now, what do they irradiate? They don't irradiate produce very much because it's alive already. They really don't need to. They'll irradiate stuff that they want to preserve, and that's spices. Spices are almost always irradiated so that they don't get bacteria on them. They don't go bad. You can't sell stuff that's rotten. If it rots, you're losing money. So you got to figure out some way to keep them from rotting. So anyways, the main point of the story is that leftovers in the lower intestine are causing toxins that are screwing people's brains up.
That are causing inflammation.
That is a contributing factor. It's a main contributing factor to most mental illness.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if y'all are hearing this anywhere else, if anybody else is saying this, but I want to tell you this is actually true. If you get into the research and start looking at it, then people who do this all the time, they know this is true.
Yeah.
Somehow or other, this is not the common conversation. Tylenol turns out to be the conversation.
Right.
Tylenol is small potatoes.
Right.
Undigested food or partially digested food, that's
preservatives that we're putting into our food, dyes, sugars that we're putting into
anything
our food.
Anything that gets in the way of our food being able to be digested, anything that weakens our digestive system is making this worse. As a nation, we are diving into this. Now, there are some people that are concerned about this. They're eating organic. They're eating stuff that's low preservative or no preservative. They're trying to find ways to eat more healthy food. Far out. Those people are going back to how we used to live.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically, you know, going to go back to living like we used to live, right? The thing is, if you look at autism, for example, autism used to be, you know, 1 in 10,000 kids got autism. And then it was 1 in, you know, 800. And then it was 1 in 500. Then it was 1 in 300. And then it was 1 in 100. Then it was 1 in 150. Let's say the year 2000 was 150. Right now it's 1 in 36.
Wow.
Kids have autism.
Wow.
Now, is that because we've changed the definition of autism and now we're more tuned into it and we're catching more of those kids? Yes. But that's not the whole story. You don't go from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 36 by getting better at finding the kids. No, there is an actual real increase in the incidence of autism. There's an actual real increase in the incidence of depression and anxiety.
And there is an actual real incidence in the increase of Alzheimer's. I think that
across the board,
they're
all the same. Every one of them is
increasing. There is the inflammation that occurs when you reach high blood sugar. And that's what they're calling type 3 diabetes, is this autism that you generate from having high blood sugar, out of control blood sugar, that in turn does increase inflammation in your body and disrupt your liver's ability to process all hormones.
Yeah, there's an interesting psychological, physiological effect of not getting your nutrients.
Yeah.
If the food that you're eating has had the nutrients stripped out of it, and the reason why the nutrients are stripped out of it, because without those nutrients, it can't rot as well. It's harder to rot. If you got the nutrients there, then when the bugs land, because they're in the air, and they connect, ooh, there's the nutrients, and we start breaking this thing down. But without the nutrients, it's a desert. The bugs can't, there's nothing to eat. They can eat a little bit, but they can't actually do anything with it because they need cobalt, they need vanadium. They need whatever the trace minerals that are just simply taken out, or protein for that matter. They need protein, and they can't get it from what they're eating. There's rare exceptions of bugs that are good at doing more with less, but those are exceptional bugs. The average bug can't eat whatever the thing is because there isn't enough stuff there for it to eat, and so it lasts, has a higher shelf life. Now, when we eat it, we can break it down. We're bigger, so we can get more stuff. In theory, we can get our nutrients from eating other things, except for what other things? There's more of the same. And so what happens is, and this is logical, you end up hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've eaten the thing, but you're not satisfied.
No.
On some physiologic level, you're going, I need some more. And then you go looking for more. And so you eat more whatever, more toast, more chips,
so
more
there is
whatever.
The seeking for the dopamine. There is the breakdown in our dopamine levels.
There's that as well.
Yeah.
So now people are overeating. and they do it all the time. And so now they're getting extra calories, and what that's doing is driving this inflammation. Remember, we talked about inflammation. Where's inflammation coming from? Not one place, but overall, it's all going up. Some of it's coming from overeating carbohydrates. Some of it's coming from overeating just period. Some of it's coming from undigested food coming down into the lower digestive system, getting broken down by bacteria, because that's what they do. I mean, food's coming from above. They break it down. They take what they want. They poop out what they don't want, except for there's no out. It's all in. And so that nasty bits that they don't want, now they're in your system. That's irritating. That's damaging.
It's causing inflammation.
Causing inflammation.
The nasty...
Wait. Let's go slower on this one. Causing inflammation. Directly? No. What happens is those toxins break things. The reason why they're toxins is because they're nasty. And so they go in and they break something. They'll kill a cell, or they'll crack the glue that holds them together. They'll do some nasty thing here, generate some kind of reaction that ends up breaking down a tissue. Okay, now you got a broken down little thing. Microscopic, mind you, but it's broken down. Little bit of breakdown. And so now your body goes, wow, it's broken. So let's send in the repair team. So it sends in these cells that go through, they glue things back together, they cut the little piece out that needs to be cut out, put a new one in. They do whatever they can to make it better. Usually it's a tiny little microscopic scar, mm-hmm. but they're going to kind of patch it up is what they're going to do. They're going to patch it up. And so that's all that's inflammatory. That whole fixing is inflammatory. So when people got high inflammation, they're thinking, oh, Dr. Luber, my inflammation is really high. Is this really bad for me? No, it isn't. What's bad for you is things broke. The inflammation is you fixing it. So we don't want to shut down that inflammation, except for now that you're fixing things, suddenly they're fixing things all over the place. You know, it's like when you got a breakdown in your house, something's broken, you call, get on the phone, call a carpenter, carpenter comes and he starts fixing it. And it's uncomfortable. There's dust, there's noise, bam, 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 zit, 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 whatever other thing's going on. It turns out to be like, you know, messy, but he's fixing things. But the weird thing about your body is, I don't know, weird is the right word. Interesting is a better word. Is that when one carpenter is called in, the call for carpenters tends to go up. So your body becomes sensitized to inflammation in general. They find another one, and we're going to call another one in, except for one doesn't come, four come. And when four come, it's more likely to seven come, and then 17, and then 170,000, right? The numbers go up, and what you get is what's known as a cascade. There's this inflammatory cascade that happens, and then what's happening is the inflammatory process itself becomes damaging. Because in the process of repairing, you have to break things, you have to tear them apart. You tear them apart, that's going to generate inflammation, and you get this cascade going. Now, the cascade tends to run quicker, better, faster if your body's ability to regulate inflammation is damaged itself. We've talked about this before. This is adrenal glands.
Mm-hmm.
Of managing your inflammatory process as a whole.
Right.
If you're going under a lot of stress, what happens is your digestive system breaks down because blood is being pulled from the digestive system and sent to go fight whatever the thing is. The blood goes to your brain, it goes to your heart, goes to your muscles, so you can whack things with a stick, right? And so your digestive system becomes weaker in that process. And once you're whacking things and sticking, you do this thing over and over every day for 3 weeks, your adrenal glands run out of juice.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make it that fast. Mm-hmm. And so their ability to do their job is compromised. Their ability to regulate your immune system is compromised. Their job is to put the brakes on your immune system. When that call goes out, it's designed in to do that. Because when something breaks, maybe something else is going to break. And your body's ready to like send a cascade in to go to fix it all. Or if there's an infection, it goes in and it's going to fix it all hard and fast right now. And so inflammation goes up. You feel achy. You feel tired, you feel dopey, you feel feverish, you feel whatever, depending on how bad this thing is. And the part of your body that regulates that thing is your adrenal glands.
Mm-hmm.
And if the adrenal glands are depleted, your regulation's broken. The whole thing doesn't work right, and then you get wrecked.
Yeah.
Now, there's other breaks. There's other ways
and
to calm things down.
And then while all that blood is helping all the inflammation elsewhere, you have food rotting in your gut and not processing
making it worse.
In your gut.
Yeah.
And then your body catches up to knowing that, oh God, we have an infection in our gut now, so it sends blood all to the stomach to try and get that worked on, and then takes away from your liver's ability to process your hormones, and then your hormones are all imbalanced and you experience depression and you experience anxiety.
Yeah. And there's certain mechanisms that your brain uses to regulate its neurotransmitters. Those are also broken.
Yeah.
Or damaged or became insufficient.
So we don't get enough dopamine. We don't get enough serotonin.
That's exactly
right. And then we search for it through food.
Catecholamines in general go down. Dopamine specifically goes down. Epinephrine or norepinephrine goes down. Serotonin goes down. And what happens is you go down.
Yeah, you go down. And then the only thing that can pick you up is Mr. Ben and Jerry.
Well, the thing about it is people in the throes of this, they look around for a cause. And it's not hard if you scan the edges of your life to say, that's where it is. That thing I'm doing, that relationship I have is toxic, something. And then,
well, it can be posed as the relationship, because while you're going into all of this internal dysregulation, you're not presenting yourself to be the best person you are. So you're probably irritated. You're probably despondent. You're probably defensive. You probably are, in a way, interacting in your closest relationships that might be damaging to them. So then, yes, you do think that it could be that relationship or that person or that workplace or something.
Yeah, everything you said is right.
Yeah.
You're following what I'm saying here. But let me make it the word simpler. What happens is your ability to be patient is broken.
Yeah.
Your ability to see things in perspective, I just said the same thing twice, is broken. And so what happens is when you're in a good mood and things are working well and things are settled, you go like, meh, whatever, you know. And then when you're whacked because your guts are going bad, your inflammation's going bad, your liver's going bad, your adrenals are overworked.
You're not the
and
best
then you. Don't have you. Any, you don't have any patience.
No.
And then you flare.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen so many times, you know, women at that time of month, right before their period starts, everything goes cattywampus, and they become irritable, and they don't even know that they are, or they hardly know they are.
I know. 3 days before, when I start crying because I'm so frustrated just by the littlest thing, I know exactly what that
is. Yeah, and so what you do now, you're just getting it for 3 days. You're getting it for your whole life.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about...
So by the time you're 30 and you, like, can... You know your cycle, you know that, okay, this is what's happening. I'm not insane. I'm just hormonal.
Okay,
right
so
now.
This is what Trump needs to put a warning on.
Women?
Is food that won't digest. This is... What? 10 times? 20 times? 30 times? Some you know, big number times more important than
acetaminophen. Yeah.
Acetaminophen is this. Yeah, it affects the liver. It, you know, it causes problems. There's some breakdown that goes with it. It's not like it's good.
No.
It's not.
No.
It's not good. But it is small potatoes.
In comparison to what...
Rotten food
and high blood sugar.
Yeah.
That's... Right.
Both of those things.
Yeah. That's scary.
And dysregulated immune systems.
Yeah.
So it turns out, why are all these diseases so much more common than they used to be? It's because how we live. It's not environmental. It's not like they're putting spray in the air and that's what's affecting us. It's how the whole system works. It's how food is grown. It's how it's processed. It's how it's packaged.
It's in our soil.
It's how we live our lives.
Yeah.
It's the intensity that our lives, the flavor that it has, that pulls the stress chemicals out of us because we feel it so deeply. There's this threat to who we are as individuals in our lives, in our communities, and so we rise to the occasion because, you know, we want to win and we want to, you know, overcome, and you do that day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out, and you become exhausted.
Yeah.
Your system can't keep it up.
And we're also living our lives in a way where we need the quick meal. We need something fast. We need something accessible. We need something that we can put in the microwave and be done in 10 minutes.
And you can't buy it if it's rotten.
Yeah.
So the manufacturers must, they are required to, by law, to have systems set up to keep things from getting rotten.
Yeah, so they have to dump it with preservatives.
Or something.
Yeah.
They either have to put preservatives in it, or they have to refrigerate it, which works kind of moderately well. They have to irradiate it. They have to extract the nutrients from it. give an example of that, extracting nutrients from it. If you want to make flour that won't go bad, you have to take the bran out. You leave the bran in. That is, you take grains and you grind them up, and the bran's all mixed in. It won't last a week. It just rots. Mm-hmm. It's got protein. It's got oil. It's got all the little nutrients that the bugs need, and it just goes rancid. Now, you could freeze it, and it won't go rotten, but who keeps flour in their freezer?
Yeah.
I do.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Because I want to get the healthiest flour I can. Not that I use flour very often. But
yeah, your wife is gluten-free.
I mostly don't do anything with flour. So, and I use it so infrequently, I have to put it in the freezer. Otherwise, it's just going to go bad.
It's just bad. So, okay, we have a few minutes left in this episode.
What do we do? Here's the thing. It's super simple. Whatever you eat, you have to digest.
Yeah.
So you can't overeat. And you have to be sensitive to it because you can't tell. There's no meter on us to say if there's leftover food. If there's leftover food, how you could tell is you feel funny. You feel burpy, gassy, bloated, crampy, heartburny. Those are all signs of fermentation.
Yeah.
If so, you're getting fermentation, you ate too much. Here's the other thing. Don't eat things that won't digest.
Yeah.
If it won't digest, if you put it on the counter and just stays there forever and never breaks down, that is not a good thing to eat.
If it stays there for a week and doesn't break down,
you
probably
know, it'd be
not.
Better if it's alive. Can you put a banana on the counter? It's alive, right?
Yes.
But if you peel it and leave it out there, the thing's going to rot in no time at all.
Yeah.
So if it rots in half a day, okay, that's good food. Now don't eat it rotten.
No, cook it or eat it when it's fresh.
No, eat it when it's fresh. Yeah. Is what you want to do. But you want to buy food that will rot. Food that won't rot is bad food. Now, can you eat anything that won't rot? I'll give you an example. Pepperoni. Pepperoni's delicious. It's super flavorful. It's fabulous. Pepperoni's like an amazing thing if it's used as a spice. So you use a teeny little bit for flavor, and it turns out to make this fabulous thing. Now, it's toxic.
Do you grate it?
You slice it real thin.
Okay.
Okay, let me give you an example. I went to a party, and it was a 60s theme party, and I won a can of Spam. I mean, I never buy Spam. Spam is like...
Oh, you would be the one to win
absolutely,
the Spam.
You know, the exact poster child of what you do not want to eat. The
yeah,
toxic
it's blasphemy
meat, right?
to a naturopath.
Yeah, absolutely. Spam. It's like the worst thing you can possibly eat. And I was like, well, what am I going to do with the Spam? Throw it away? No!
Give it to your dog.
Well, I could, except for I care about my dogs. I want to feed it to my dog. So what I did was, I took it and I sliced two thin slices off the edge, chopped them up, minced them into this little teeny, you know, minced is what I did. And sprinkled it on top of this tofu scramble. I kid you not.
Spam and tofu.
And it made the best tofu scramble. You could hardly imagine how good it was. It was flavorful. The umami came through. It made this taste treat sensation. Now, it turned out to have onions and peppers and tofu. But it was good food, right?
Yeah.
High quality oil. Everything was great. And it had enough Spam to blow your mind.
Uh-huh. Just to
know. Without... But see, the thing, if you eat a teeny little bit of Spam, who cares? You're going to break it down.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not eating a whole can of Spam. You're just eating a little bit for flavor. Now, I'm not saying you got to live like a saint. You can, you know, eat difficult-to-digest food. You just can't have any leftovers. That's the trick. If you eat it, you have to break every little bit down so there's nothing that goes down in your lower intestine except for soluble fiber, which turns out to be mostly cellulose, which feeds the beneficial bacteria, which generates short-chain fatty acids, and happiness and joy abounding is yours because your gut bacteria are healthy.
So how would you recommend patients could periodically cleanse themselves to make sure that they didn't have any undigested food? Would that be to be taking magnesium?
You know, I love your questions. You have an excellent question. Excellent question. How do you cleanse yourself? That is the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I can actually answer that question, but I'm not going to. What I'm going to do instead is say, don't get dirty to begin with. That's what I recommend you do. That's what you do. And here's how you don't get dirty to begin with. Make sure you feed your beneficial bacteria. So what you're going to have to do, you know what I'm going to say, every show has this. You need to eat vegetables.
You need to eat right, exercise, and sleep.
That is the answer. That is the actual answer. And you eat vegetables, and then what happens is you have all the nutrients that you need. You have the fiber that you need. You have the materials that help regulate the gut flora, and so they prosper. We don't want to shut them down. We don't want to do antibiotics. We don't want to inhibit them in any way. We want to encourage them. We want to feed them. We want to create this, cultivate is the right word, like it's a garden.
Yeah.
We want to cultivate this environment in our guts. So every time you eat something, you got to think, is this good for my guts? You're going out to breakfast, and they have these lovely hash browns. Are these good for my guts? The answer is no, they're not. Hash browns are a taste treat sensation. And it comes with some bacon. Is that good for my guts? No,
no,
it's not.
Absolutely.
And what about the English muffin?
No.
No, it's not. You blew up your guts.
Yeah.
This is a gut bomb is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, especially you've got a stack of pancakes with it, right?
Yeah.
So what you want to do is you want to pick and choose.
Spread with jelly, spread with sugar, maple syrup, all of it. Increasing inflammation, increasing.
You got to think, what can I eat then if I'm not going to eat that?
Vegetables.
Tofu scramble.
Well, Dr. Looper, I think that might be it for this episode, but I have a feeling we'll
now wasn't that a good episode?
Yeah,
much better than acetaminophen to prevent autism, right?
Yeah. Well, thank you for spreading awareness and spreading the word.
Cool. Very good.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.